Hello and welcome to a special interview with The Print. Today we have somebody very special, someone who is a second generation Communist Party of India leader. He's the son of C.K. Vishwanathan, who was a member of the Travancore Cochin Assembly. He's none other than Binoy Vishwam, Rajya Sabha member, editor of the New Age Weekly, and Kerala's former Forest and Housing Minister. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you.
So, the first question that I'll have to ask is regarding the India bloc, India Alliance. The India Alliance is contesting against the BJP. It's some sort of an alliance, not a national alliance, but it's a state-by-state alliance. I understand that. But still, it feels strange that the India Alliance is contesting against itself in Kerala. There is Rahul Gandhi contesting, the leader of the India Alliance, although he's not officially named the leader, but he's a leadership candidate. He's contesting in Kerala. Ani Raja, again somebody who is based in Delhi, she's contesting in Kerala. So what is happening to the India Alliance? Why are the leaders contesting against each other?
Now, India Alliance is a great promise to the nation. We, the communists, view at that alliance with great hope. In fact, the basic idea that turned into India Alliance was put forth by the Communist Party of India for the first time in 2015. We raised the slogan for the formation of a broad-based unity to fight the main enemy, which is the fascist RSS and the party led by that, the BJP. Our concept was this: the prime enemy of this country today is the RSS-led BJP. It has to be defeated for keeping India as India of today, for keeping the idea of India safe and secure. We thought that RSS-led BJP has to be defeated. For that aim, in order to serve that goal, we proposed this unity of a broad-based unity of forces committed to the cause of secularism, democracy, and socialism. So, just in fact, at that stage, no party was in clear terms talking about the future India with this clarity. So when India Alliance became a reality, the CPI is proud to say that our view of the future India was the basis for this India Alliance, though we are not the big party in that alliance. But our idea is really big and serious. So we regard the India Alliance as the hope of the future India. We stand for that. But as you told it, the Indian diversity, it's multifarious diversity. The political content and political realities, it changed from state to state. So all over the country, there is no meaning in telling that there should be one way of fighting the RSS BJP. It has to be fought. BJP has to be fought and defeated all over the country. But in what way? When that question comes, the Indian reality is that it varies from state to state. In Kerala, to defeat the BJP, we believe that the LDF has to fight the election as LDF. And we have to fight the UDF also. Because in Indian situation, you cannot imagine that. But in Kerala, the people know it. Many a time in the past, the UDF and the BJP, they were together in their attempt to defeat the left front, LDF. We can see that truth even today. Now you can see, yesterday it happened. No, the day before yesterday it happened. At a northern district of Kasaragod, a panchayat called Paivaliga, we saw a BJP-Congress alliance to defeat the left president of that panchayat. The BJP, which is the big force than the Congress in that particular panchayat, they brought a non-confidence motion against the LDF of panchayat presidents. And Congress party, they had only one member. That lone member supported the BJP against the left. And the funny part is that the same panchayat, there are two Muslim League members are also there. They were not ready to follow the dictate of the Congress party. The Congress went with the BJP, and the League members, two of them, they stood with the LDF. And that's how the Congress BJP sponsored non-confidence motion was defeated.
So there are so many such local small issues, panchayat level issues are there. But why is the LDF and the UDF, LDF Left Democratic Front and the United Democratic Front led by the Congress, they are trying to cast each other as the BJP's close ally? I mean, in the sense, the LDF says the UDF is in cahoots with the BJP. The UDF says the LDF is in cahoots with the BJP. So the Kerala elections have turned into who is doing deals with the underhand deals with the BJP rather than the LDF and the UDF fighting on political issues. So has this become a bigger issue? And some people say that this is actually meant to attract the Muslim votes. Is there some basis to this?
No, for us, one thing is very clear. If anybody, including you, ask us, the Communist Party or the LDF cadre, that who is your main enemy? We are having only one answer. And this answer will be our answer for the future also. Our main enemy is RSS controlled BJP. Nobody else. But the Congress cannot say like this, because they have a blind anti-left position, anti-LDF posture. Same thing with the BJP. BJP also is having the same situation. For them, the enemy number one is the left. It's a proclaimed position. Since the days of Golwalkar, it is like that only. Unfortunately, the Congress in Kerala, who have forgotten the Mahatma Gandhi tradition, the Nehruvian legacy, that Congress in Kerala has no hesitation to hold their hands together with the BJP. It happened many a time in the past also. There is a story, not a story, it's a political reality in Kerala, which we call the Co-Li-B Alliance, Congress League BJP Alliance. They were having common candidates, both in assembly elections and Lok Sabha elections. They had common candidates. They contested together against the left, openly. Now it is not so open, but under the table deal is there. They may pretend to be two, but the fact is that they are not two, they are one. Hand in hand, they tried to fight the LDF.
The UDF people say that, the Congress says that the LDF consists of two parties which are in the National Democratic Alliance of the BJP outside Kerala, but who remain in the LDF, Left Democratic Front, within Kerala. It's being referred to the JDS, Janata Dal Secular, and the NCP, Nationalist Congress Party. The official factions are now with the BJP. In the case of the JDS, the entire party outside Kerala is with the NDA. But in Kerala, they remain with the LDF. So they are saying, they are putting the opposite argument. They are saying that it's actually the left which is in cahoots with the BJP. So why is this? You know, it's become like this. BJP is the bogeyman of Kerala politics. So anybody, you have to oppose somebody, you just say, okay, somebody is with BJP, he's a BJP supporter, or BJP is supporting that person. So why is the politics of Kerala reduced to that? Isn't there more to, you know, is it because of the fact that in Kerala, the LDF and the UDF have to contest each other? that BJP is brought into the picture all the time like this, but since the parliamentary elections, you know, the BJP is the common enemy, but since LDF and UDF has to contest in Kerala, this becomes the narrative. Is that inevitable, or is that something that you do as a, you know, because, you know, the political discourse becomes difficult in such a circumstance?
No, the answer to your question is there in that question itself. The official position of the leaders somewhere in Bangalore or in Delhi, whatever it may be, or in Mumbai, the people or the committees in Kerala of both the parties, they stand firm with the LDF politics, very firm. And vehemently they oppose those factions, either in Mumbai or in Delhi or in Bihar or anywhere in Bangalore, anywhere they are. They oppose that positions and they stand very firmly with the left positions. As long as they oppose the RSS-BJP political line, as long as they stand with the LDF positions in Kerala, which is out and out anti-BJP, as long as they remain with the people and the program of the LDF, they are part of the LDF. And we are sure that none of them will ever support the BJP. And Congress cannot say like this to anybody. How can they say it? Many of the leaders of the Congress party themselves, not only really small fries, their former chief ministers, former Pradesh committee presidents, former central ministers, former working committee members, such big shots of the Congress, they are becoming BJP overnight. So people of Kerala, people of India know that the Congress in today's morning will be the BJP, not tomorrow. Today by lunchtime, they are BJP. This is the Congress today. Not only in Kerala. You please remember the statement by Abhishek Manu Singhvi, who is my friend also. He told it. Yesterday, during dinner time, they were with us. Today in the morning, today in the morning, during breakfast also, they were with us. But at 11 o'clock, when the voting started, we saw them in the BJP camp. This is the Congress of today. We are not happy about that. We are very, very sad to say that the party of Mahatma Gandhi, the party which claims to be the Nehruvian party, that party has become a political mate of the RSS-BJP. They have sought over that.
Let's come to the Kerala elections and first to Thiruvananthapuram. Panniyan Ravindran, who is a veteran leader, who was the CPI state secretary before you, and who was an MP from here for 3 years after winning a by-election in 2005. For some reason, he did not contest the election in 2009, but now, after a long time, he is back in contention. So how do you see the candidature of Panniyan Ravindran first? I ask you this again because, you know, we used to hear your name as the prospective candidate from Thiruvananthapuram. But then Kanam Rajendran, who was the state secretary, he passed away tragically and you became the state secretary and Panniyan Ravindran was then fielded as the candidate. So is Panniyan Ravindran an ideal candidate? Was he, you know, he seemed to be a reluctant candidate. He didn't want to contest. So was it because the party did not have a proper somebody who want, I mean, what was the reason that Panniyan was chosen?
Because we felt that Panniyan Ravindran is the proper candidate, the most suitable candidate to contest the seat in Trivandrum. Because the people of Trivandrum know him very well. He was with them always. MP or not MP, candidate or not candidate, but Panniyan Ravindran is a man who always stood with the people. Day and night he was with the people. He's a friend of all sections of people. You go to anywhere in the district or in the constituency, just mention his name. The people love him. that affection, that love, appreciation, the feeling of oneness that they have towards Pandit Devendra. That is the reason for us to decide that he should be the candidate here to win this seat, not to fight this seat. We fight this seat, I emphatically tell you, we fight this seat to win this seat. We are sure that he will defeat both the BJP and the UDF candidates, and he will make sure, LDF will make sure, that Pandian Devendra will be the MP of Trivandrum.
Last election, the LDF votes came down to 25%. C. Divakaran, another veteran leader, he contested as the LDF candidate and the vote share came down drastically. There are some suggestions that there was some kind of, the BJP makes this allegation that the CPM votes got traded to Congress because they did not want BJP to win at any cost, and there was some cross-voting from CPM to Congress to just prevent Kumbanam Rajasekharan from winning. What is your sense of the LDF vote share going down drastically to 25%, and how do you propose to raise it from, you know, if he has to win, as you said, Pandian Ravindran, if he has to win, it has to go up to 35%, 10% swing, minimum 10% swing. How do you, what do you make of those suggestions in 2019, and how do you propose to raise it to 35%, 10%?
No, for your long and question, I have a short answer. And that short answer will be, 2019 is not 2024. Whatever happened in 2019 will never be repeated in 2024. In 2024, however, whatever number of votes have to be shifted from that side to this side, we have spent votes from both the sides to come to the LDF side. Because the people, when they vote this time, for most of them, their natural choice will be Pandian Devendra. So I can tell you, in short, this year, in 2024, we will draw a new history in Trivandrum.
So are you suggesting that vote transfer did take place in 2019?
I cannot say about that.
But there are, that is the...
No, we have heard rumors like that. I don't want to depend on rumors and make comments on the rumors. Whatever has happened will not be repeated.
Okay.
So, I had mentioned this earlier as well. So, if you hadn't been the CPI state secretary, would you have been the candidate instead of Pandian Ravindran in Thiruvananthapuram?
No, these are all rumors.
It's a hypothetical question, but...
Hypothetical, of course. Communist Party secretary is the very, very responsible and important position that I hold today. And as the secretary of the party, my role is not to contest the election, but to lead the fight for the people, to lead this fight for the masses, to lead the battle to defend secularism, democracy. And that role of a Communist Party secretary is much more important than to become a candidate. I know it.
Yes, of course. But see, the Pandian Ravindran's biggest challenge, not just Pandian Ravindran's, but the other candidates, V.S. Sunil Kumar, who is very popular in Thrissur, C. Arun Kumar, who is a very young candidate and who is, looks promising against Kodikunnil Suresh in Mavilikira. Also, there is veteran Ani Raja. So, the challenge before all the candidates would be that there is massive anti-incumbency on the ground against the Pinarayi Vijayan government. There is no dispersal of welfare pensions for the last 6 to 7 months. They are saying that they are going to disperse 1 or 2 months, but there is no money. And you yourself have mentioned that the SFI, the Students Federation of India, which is the student outfit of the Communist Party of India Marxist, they are creating a massive problem to the party and now to the government. And don't you think this will affect your party's candidates as well?
No, in this election, we don't see a candidate of my party or of that party or this party. We contest 20 seats as LDF candidates. All the 20 candidates are for us, our candidates. Don't think that these 4 seats alone are our seats. Our seats are 20 seats. So all these LDF candidates, irrespective of being CPI or CPM or Kerala Congress All of them are out and out LDF candidates. We vote for them.
What about the
when you talk about the anti-incumbency, in all the states in Kerala, except Alappi and now Kottayam, in all the seats, the anti-incumbency part will work this time in favor of us. All the sitting MPs are failed MPs, all of them. So the anti-incumbency factor which you mentioned will automatically work against them in favor of us.
But you made a statement yourself. It came on the front page of Matrubhumi that the SFI has become a law into itself and it has to be reined in, controlled. So you made that statement after what happened at the Pookod Veterinary University and the death, tragic death of Siddharthan, the student. So what do you have to, you know?
I made that statement.
Yes.
But that statement was considered by you in a wrong way. My statement is very clear. Understand with that statement. My statement was that the SFI, those people who hold the name of the SFI, where is the word? SFI Namadharigal. Those who call themselves as SFI, they should know the ideology, the history, and the task of the SFI. And there are a small section in that organization who don't know these facts. So I was so confident then and now that SFI can teach them what the real SFI is. The events that you mentioned.
So do you think it's an aberration?
No doubt. That's not the SFI. But so-called team of people, group of people, segments in the organization who is doing something or talking something in the name of the SFI. They are not the real SFI in my understanding. That was my statement. But, I stand by that really.
But the party, CPM, has changed. Your ally, the Communist Party of India, Marxist, they have changed completely from the 80s, 90s. Now, SFI is their feeder organization, the main feeder organization, SFI, DYFI, and then they become full-time communist members, CPM members. So, don't you feel that this can actually, you know, going down a few years further down the line, this can completely take the party to a different direction? Because in Kerala, in the LDF, although you are a very prominent part of the LDF, the CPM is the leading party. And if this kind of, you know, if the criminalization of SFI gets seeped into the CPM, then doesn't it have a lot of ramifications for the Kerala polity at large?
I want to respond to your question in a different way. Don't try to build a line between CPI and CPM. Let me take it as a common thing. I may call it the communist movement, in which both of us, the CPI and the CPM, are part of it. The communist movement has to take this responsibility as a very important one. What is the responsibility? To teach our cadre the proper communist spirit. It is applicable for both the communist parties. Because there is a trend in this whole world today. It's a right-wing trend. An ideological pressure is there among all of us to so follow the suit of the right. And that wave is telling everybody that market is everything, money is everything, profit is everything. All other values are not important. So which we call the market fundamentalism. And when that market fundamentalism and its ideology of the profits, profit is supreme than any gods. When such a challenge is there before the left movement, every part of it, our task will be to teach our cadre, to tell our cadre that we are not supposed to follow that track. Our path is a different path. And that different path should be our guiding principle for today and tomorrow. This education process, we have to take seriously. We are trying to do it. I'm sure that the CPIM will also have to take that task very seriously. I believe they are also doing it.
Do you foresee, you said that you asked me not to delineate between CPM and CPI, but the left parties, even though they are shrinking, there are so many left parties. There is no coming together of the left parties. For example, in Bihar, CPI-ML is the biggest left party. In Kerala, CPI-M is the biggest party. In some other state, CPI is the biggest party. So why is there no, you know, the movement? Why can't these parties come together as a united left party? I suppose D. Raja and your national secretary, D. Raja and others had spoken about the coming together of left parties at one point of time. And is that conceivable? Is that still possible? What do you think of it?
No, that's the position for which the CPI is committed to. All of us, we have spoken for that. We stand for that.
But is it practically possible?
It will be practical tomorrow, not today. That is not, we stand for the principled reunification of the communist movement. That the Communist Party of India position. I repeat it, the principled reunification of the communist movement. That is possible, but that is not our immediate agenda. Our immediate agenda is that to outseat the RSS BJP, to defeat the RSS from the political scene of India, to bring back Indian idea, India's idea to the forefront, and to see that India will not succumb to the Hitlerite fascist ideas of the RSS. That's our urgent task, of the immediate task. But as a communist party, the CPI stands for a broad-based unity of all the communist parties in this country. And we are sure that the time will come when all of these parties will think it seriously.
Will it be under the name Communist Party of India, CPI, that all these parties...
Four such questions we can discuss. Now the thing is that all the communist parties have to agree that that's a goal. If the goal is set, then we can find the way out. We can sit together. Not only one meeting, we can have several meetings. In the course of those discussions, we can discuss what should be the program, what should be the policy, what should be the name. All this we have to discuss. We don't think that it's an overnight process. It should take its own time. 60 years have passed. 60 years we were different. All these parties have to think together independently and collectively. What is the net result of the 60 years split? Split is not the solution for Indian communist movement. The CPI's view, unity to become one should be the goal before the communist movement of the country.
Coming to the Vizhinjam protests, now Shashi Tharoor is facing an issue in the coastal regions because of his position that he took during the protests against the construction of the seaport. There was a coming together of the BJP and CPM at that time. We saw both V.V. Rajesh, the district president of the BJP, and Anavur Nagappan, who was the CPM district secretary at that point, coming together against the protests. But the CPI was not seen there. Did CPI take a different position from the CPM when the Vizhinjam protests were on?
We can say like this. Development is okay. It has to come. But when any development comes, the livelihood of the people of that region, their day-to-day life, their employment, livelihoods, their food, their shelter, all are also important. Protecting all these primary human necessities and their right, we call it, the right to life, the right to employment, the right to have a shelter, that is very important. Giving the proper place and space for that only, development can come. We stand for that. And the people at the coastal region in large numbers told me personally They stood with Shashi Tharoor last time. This time they will not.
They will stand with Pandian Ravindran?
They will. They will.
So that is one way you are seeing the vote share increasing for the CPI.
There are so many ways. But that can be a way. One of the ways. There is a very strong anti-incumbency feeling in Trivandrum.
The 15 years of Shashi Tharoor's...
Yes. He has to tell the people. His first promise was a twin city. Trivandrum and Barcelona. In the initial days, I remember he was talking it loudly and repeatedly. What happened to it? Then so many big, big ambitious projects he used to sound to the air. Then it was vanished.
He says the state government is responsible for the fishermen not getting compensation. That the compensation package that was conceived when Umman Chandy was the chief minister, 478 crores, that got stopped when Pinarayi Vijayan became chief minister in 2016. And that is the root cause of the fishermen's crisis, that their livelihoods have been lost, so there's no mitigation happening.
Shashi Tharoor has to say they like this because he's a man who did nothing for the fishermen in those days. He was silent. He was riding with Adani interest. He was always an advocate for them. And he never took the lives of the poor people serious. Now and then. Always he was with those people. At the higher echelons of life. Such a man can say only like this.
He says you are a good friend of his.
I'm a good friend.
Personally.
I'm a good friend. But facts are facts. A good friend I am. And being a good friend, I tell my good friends, some of his questions, positions are to be questions. As a good friend, I'm telling Shashi Tharoor, some of his positions are really not of the Congress party even. For example, I hate him narrating in an interview saying that in those days, earlier days, pre the demolition of Babri Masjid days, he was suggesting the Muslim Brothers could have thought of a alternative. And what is the alternative? To take this Babri Masjid as it, with all respect, and to relocate it into some other places. This is the words of the Shashi Tharoor, not the exact words, I don't quote it. But this idea, I heard him speaking in interview. Is this the Congress position? And this position will support whose views? This is a BJP view. It supports only the BJP.
So are you suggesting?
Secular India was telling it should not be demolished. Secular India, the Muslims, the Christians, all the Indians with a serene mind, they were telling, should be protected. None of them were telling to relocate it.
Are you casting aspersions on Shashi Tharoor's secular credentials?
It happened. Shashi Tharoor many a time, knowingly or unknowingly, in his heart of heart, he has a tilt towards the BJP positions. I have seen it. One more example. He was invited to the rally of the Muslim League in the early days of the conflict in
Palestine
issue. Early days. And that happens to be the biggest first rally in those days.
In Kozhikode.
The League invited him and made him the man to inaugurate that rally. What was the speech he made there?
He spoke against Hamas.
He took a position to equate the aggressor, the Zionist Israel and the Hamas equal. You can be critical about Hamas, but how can he equate both of them? The whole world knows Israel, the Zionist Israel, the aggressor, since decades. How can Hamas, the elected government of that Gaza Strip, How can they be equated? Is that the contest position? For whose pleasure, for whose convenience, Shashi Tharoor made that statement?
It happens
like that. I have one more question to ask you as a journalist. The other day we read in the papers that Congress had to change a candidate in Jaipur state. Sunil Sharma was replaced by some other names. Good position. Why? The positions that he took on third issues were contrary to the Congress views. So he was replaced. I asked the Congress party a serious question through the print. My question will be like this. Will that same yardstick be applied in Trivandrum? And if that yardstick is applied here, these two positions of Shashi Tharoor is not the Congress position. It runs contrary to the Congress positions. Due to that reason, will the Congress be there to replace Shashi Tharoor with another name? My question to the Congress party. I agree, I fully endorse the view that Shashi Tharoor is a friend of mine. But at the same time, I state that when serious ideological political questions come, Shashi Tharoor knowingly or unknowingly forget that he is a Congress working committee member. Forget that his party has a tradition of Gandhi Nehru legacy. He forget that.
He calls himself a Nehruvian.
No, he is sometimes in the early days of Swachh Bharat Abhiyan, this Nehruvian was the first man outside the BJP camp who came very, very, very actively to endorse it. And the Congress party was not like that.
So is that the things that you spoke about Shashi Tharoor, is that part of the campaign in Thiruvananthapuram, propaganda of the CPI, that Shashi Tharoor is, he's not even properly a Congress-oriented candidate, that he has to be replaced because of these reasons? Is that the Hamas position that he took, is that a campaign material?
No, these are all political questions.
So is that part of the campaign?
Political questions are to be politically campaigned.
So it's a part of the campaign?
Political campaign, nothing personal. This is a political campaign. And I am very sure the Congress men in Trivandrum, the Congress followers in Trivandrum, in which year they learned about this name of Shashi Tharoor in Trivandrum? They learned about this name only in the year
2009.
Before that, what was he? Where was he?
He was in the United Nations.
And then he landed in Dubai doing what? Business. Share market. I don't know, but anyhow, not in politics. He was in the international share market for making a business investment. And then he was with the cricket matches for quite short time. He was busy with cricket associations and cricket give and take. And you know more than me.
But those are all things.
All things means Congress party is not so young. Congress party is a party 100 years, more than 100 years old.
So I'm just asking, is the Congress position, the Shashi Tharoor's position on Hamas, is that an issue in Thiruvananthapuram? Is that a poll issue?
Of course it is to be. It has to be.
India has made it an issue.
I am making this issue a political issue. I am asking this question to the Congress party and to my friend Shashi Tharoor. What he talked about Hamas, how he equated Zionist Israel and Hamas, is that position the Congress position? How can the Congress accept and endorse that directive?
Let's come to the other candidate, Rajiv Chandrasekhar. He is the BJP minister, and his campaign is primarily revolves around the fact that he's a minister and that Modi 3.0 or the third term for Modi is inevitable. How do you see the chances of Narendra Modi coming back to power? And the slogan, as you know, would be Apki Baar, Char Sau Paar, and that the India Alliance, according to many surveys, is trailing. So do you see any chance for the India Alliance to come back to power? Or Rajiv Chandrasekhar's campaign that Thiruvananthapuram would get a minister if they elect him as the MP? So how do you...
My answer will have two parts. One about the BJP candidate, Rajiv Chandrasekhar. Again, another friend. But in my understanding, Rajiv is a good businessman, a good investor, successful investor, who knows how to invest money and where to invest, how to profit out of that money. That he knows. But as a political leader, I doubt whether Rajiv Chandrasekhar will be acceptable to the political activists of the BJP even. Because it is not his priority ever. He happened to be in the BJP as part of his various business activities. That's the business, that's the politics of today. For many political parties, it's a business. In the parliament, you can see considerable number of members of the parliament are now businessmen, which was not the case earlier. It's a club of the mixed shorts in the business world. For many of them, MPship, ministership, political positions are only a status symbol to support their business empire. And my friend, Rajiv Chandrasekhar, is one among those big shots in the business. I am very sure he is a successful businessman, but I doubt whether he will be a committed political leader. I doubt. And everybody knows, those people stand around him, they were out and out venomous communal elements, reactionary communal ideas they put forth to the people. They always were accusing and minimizing the importance of secularism. Many of them feel that it's a nasty word, secularism. You can go to their previous social media activities, then you can see Rajiv's close aides who stand beside him, they were ardent supporters of a Hindu Rashtra theory.
You mean Pradesh Vishwanath?
I don't mention any name.
I'm making
then you know them.
Of course, yeah.
Then you know.
So you're saying that, I mean, what about the chances of the Modi 3.0?
I am telling you, if the India Alliance and the political forces who are part of that alliance are serious about this fight, if they can take up the task of saving India from the clutches of the RSS BJP menace, if they go to the people, even them may trust and hope that it is possible to defeat the BJP. If it is possible, if they can be informed in such a way, reliable way, that we are taking up a struggle, which is a possible struggle, then I am sure that the dream of Modi for a third tenure will not be a truth.
Is there any possibility for the BJP to open its account in Kerala?
No.
You have two candidates in Thiruvananthapuram and Thrissur. These are the two of the three seats, or two of the four seats that they foresee opening their account in Kerala, because Thiruvananthapuram, they have a strong candidate, or they assume that he is a strong candidate. So in Thrissur, where you have V.S. Sunil Kumar, he's a former minister and a popular candidate there. And pitted against him is K. Muralidharan of the Congress and actor Suresh Gopi, their strongest candidate, who is now in a triangular contest. So anything can happen in that contest, but do you see the BJP winning there now?
In Kerala, I can tell you, this story of triangular fight is a myth.
Even in Thrissur?
all over Kerala.
In Thiruvananthapuram?
There is no triangular fight. It's a straight fight between the LDF and the UDF, in which the BJP trying to defeat the LDF, siding with the UDF. This is the real political scenario of this fight in Kerala. So forget the word triangular fight. Including Trivandrum, including Trichur, and all of the seats, I can tell you, BJP will not open their account in this state of Kerala.
You spoke about Rajiv Chandrasekhar's business. Now, the latest, revelation of sorts is that Rajiv Chandrasekhar's Niramaya Resort has taken over the resort owned by the, the resort in which E.P. Jayarajan, the LDF convener, has shares. His wife and his son has shares in that resort in Vaidegam, resort in Kannur. So E.P. Jayarajan has, Rajiv Chandrasekharan's company, Jupiter Capital, has taken over that resort. Now that resort is known as Niramaya Vaidegam Resort. And this has become a big political issue. You started out by saying that the Congress and the BJP are in cahoots with each other. But this has become a bigger issue. Now the Congress says, V.D. Satheesan, the leader of opposition, says that this shows that the CPM and the BJP has some kind of deal. Moreover, E.P. Jayarajan had made this statement that BJP has fielded very strong candidates. His opinion is completely different from yours. He says the BJP has a strong candidate in Thiruvananthapuram, Attingal. They are both ministers. They have a strong candidate in Thrissur. So is E.P. Jayarajan, is this something that you are unaware of, that the CPM and the BJP may have a deal, but you may not be know? I mean, is that a possibility?
No, such matters. You and I heard what E.P. Jayarajan had to say. He has told his position very clearly. And on such matters of business, I am not the proper man to make a comment.
No, he had to correct himself, or he had to change his opinion after the chief minister and his party secretary. They made their statements, and then E.P. Jayarajan had to retract his original statement. But his original statement suggested that the BJP candidates are strong, and that they are fighting the CPM, that BJP, the fight is between the CPM and the BJP, while you're saying that it's a straight LDF versus UDF fight. So this doesn't sync with your position and his position. Although he retracted his earlier statement, this revelation has come out in the open that Rajiv Chandrasekhar and E.P. Jayarajan has some kind of business deals with each other.
But Rajiv Vijayan is not only the chief minister here in Kerala. He is the Politburo member of the CPIM, the topmost body of the party. He made a statement on this matter. M.V. Govindan, the state secretary and another Politburo member of the CPIM, he also made a statement. After that two statements, you heard a statement by Jayarajan also. In that statement, Jayarajan stood corrected. When he was ready to correct himself, and when you know about that, I don't find the reason for you again to take that question to the discussion. When he made a statement finally, I stand with that final statement. And I can tell you one more thing on business matters. I am not a proper man to make any comments because I am not aware of such matters. It is not my world.
So you condone that, you are okay if there is business dealings between leaders of the CPM and the BJP. You don't want to comment about it, but you find it all right.
No, let the CPIM leadership,
CPIM,
they have made their statements. After that statements, Comrade Jayarajan came out openly, making his own statements corrected. That you read it. So I stand with the corrected version of the position of Jayarajan.
Some surveys have come out saying that the UDF has an advantage over the LDF in the parliamentary elections in the 20 seats. So do you subscribe to that? Do you foresee a situation similar to 2019 when the UDF won 19 out of 20? Is that, or you see that the trend is reversing?
You know it more than me that surveys are surveys.
Yes.
Surveys are surveys. And no surveys are accurate. And no surveys are impartial. As no media is impartial.
What is your sense of this election? How many seats the LDF?
Our survey is to, with the people. That's happening. Every day we are doing our survey. Every day, every minute. This call coming to me is part of a survey. It's a political call. People say about their political positions. And we are making a survey out of not only from for telephone calls. We go to the people, we talk. Today I met more than 30 people here in this office. And majority of them today I met is non-CPI people. They are non-CPI people, non-left people. And they came to me telling me that you have chances to win. Please do this.
If you can peg a number, do you have a number how many seats the LDF could win?
I am telling you, we are fighting to win 20 out of 20. That's our fight.
That's an ideal.
It's our fight. When we go for a fight, we fight for that, nothing less. And in Kerala, we have the sound and very stable basis for that. So we will fight on that basis.
Okay. Thank you, Comrade Binoy Visham, for taking our questions. That was a special interview with the CPI State Secretary, Binoy Visham.
Thank you very much.